We've been letting you listen to some really good music and more coming up in just a bit. But on the show today, we've a bunch of very interesting panelists. We've Sujata. She's a certified parent educator from Parenting Matters. And we've Supriya Padmanabhan. She's a managing partner at My Persona. And she has a communications background. She studied psychology, hypnotherapy, works with people to help them be the best expression of themselves. And some of her clients include leaders, teachers, teenagers, parents. And this happens to be the last episode of this set of shows we've been doing every Wednesday morning, and it's been about parenting, and we've had so many parents call us, share with us, so many youngsters call us and tell us a little bit about how it is to be on the other side of the fence. But on the show today, since it's the last episode, we thought we would talk about very successfully handling failure. Now, failure is something that's a word that's often abused. I would say failure is just attempts that one continues to make in life to make sure they get something right. So it's just an attempt, which we look at failure. A lot of times when you keep failing at something, that's when you realize what's the right way to go forward, what are some of the things to pick up, and how exactly you want to lead your life. Those few people who love you and the few people who put you out there, you know, who are really going to mean so much when you're out there on the top. So on the show today, we're going to ride that successful wave, tell you that, you know, to get on top of the wave, you got to be at the bottom as well. That's how we're going to start. But I'm going to go straight across to Sujata. Sujata, good day and welcome to the show. Thanks so much for joining
us. Hi, Jane. Good morning.
Thank you very much. How would you like to introduce this whole thing?
Yeah, I would like to start with 2 points. I would like us to explore why the word failure creates anxiety in everyone, especially in parents, with parents regards to children.
Mm-hmm.
And as parents, we seem to be fearful of our child making mistakes, failing, especially when they do not perform in their academics and extracurricular activities.
Absolutely. I mean, if you're not getting those good grades, you know, you're just, you know, dumbed down. You're like, you're not good enough. These are things that you usually hear, right?
Yeah. And unintentionally, we pass on our fears. And it starts when the child is very young.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, you cannot remember these simple spellings, or we rescue them from doing the project work because we do not want them to lose those 10 marks. And we push them into many classes, swimming, enroll them in different activities because we do not want them to miss out opportunities, or we do not want them to lose out on to others. And we also would like to protect them from the frustration, anxiety and sadness the experience of failing brings.
So basically, we want to kind of insulate them, and then we insulate them too much, and when that happens, there's excessive padding, unfortunately.
And then we complain that they are over-dependent on us.
It's really a thin line, a very delicate line really, isn't it?
And my second point would be, I would like to differentiate between failing at an activity and being a failure.
Mm-hmm.
There is a huge psychological difference between saying, I have failed in trying to divide fractions and I'm a failure at math. Or I'm a failure at math and therefore I'm a failure, period.
That's about it. Yes. So I guess it's like a continuum, you know. I just read this out sometime back on radio and on our film documentary that we did. Albert Einstein said that if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it's going to be always a failure. That's how it's going to be looked at, because a fish is supposed to swim in the sea, and every child is born to a particular talent, to you know, a few things that it can excel in, and then you force it in another you know, track altogether, it is always going to think it's a failure, isn't
yes.
it? And with the limited amount of career options today that we have for kids, even today with a growing kind of global scenario where there's so much that they can take up, but I believe there is a change now. Parents are looking at it. Parents are looking at sport full time, music full time, art full time. So children can kind of be more diversified today,
yes.
isn't it?
There are a lot of opportunities now for children, and even parents are being aware of that.
Absolutely. Well, if you want to listen to the podcast of the previous radio shows on Parenting Matters with Chennai Live 104.8 FM, it's all available on parentingmatters.in. For now, I'm going to you know, shift focus to Supriya, who joins us in the studio as well. Supriya, good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Jane.
All right. I love your nose ring.
Thank you.
I recently watched a Malayalam film called Charlie, and The actress, lead actress Parvati, has, you know, exactly the same look as you. She wears glasses, she wears a nose ring, and she's really cool. It's a very arty and a different kind of a film.
Don't announce my glasses on air, Jim.
it's really cool.
Thank you.
Tell us, so how would you like to bring things into perspective? You have a 13-year-old?
I have a 13-year-old, and in fact, I asked him to help me prepare for this program, and he said, don't mention me.
Right.
So, but yes, as a 13-year-old, I think, as a mother of a 13-year-old, I think most of our problems and our fears come from not the fear of failure itself, but a fear of something deeper. So, if I take my 13-year-old, I'm fearful of three women who I've never met, his future life partner, his future mother-in-law, and his future daughter-in-law. So, you know, that's what fear.
He's just 13 years old.
He's just 13, but I fear a failure as a parent.
Right.
And so I push him to do certain things. So it's not his failure that's worrying me, it's my failure as a parent. And that's what's important when you're looking at failure. When I coach people, it's about what is your definition of failure in the first place? Because failure has suddenly become a bad word. And failure really is just an experience where we don't meet expectations the way we wanted to. Or we meet expectations but not in the manner that we wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to redefine what you mean by failure. It's not this big bad word. And the second thing is to say, redefine what is your success. So like Sujata said, we are aiming for something, but very often what the success we're aiming for is not based on our definition of success.
Yeah.
Or our parameters.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, I met somebody recently. He's a very successful businessman, 45. Got a restaurant, got a bakery business. He did his MBA and then went into business. Very successful, according to everybody. But I asked him, if you were to do it again, would you go into culinary school? Because that wasn't happening then. And he said, no, I wouldn't have even studied. I would have gone into motorsports. So he's a huge success according to society. But according to his own life, he's failed at what he dreamt
really
of.
Really wanted to do. Absolutely.
So it's important to understand what are your parameters of success before you start terming yourself as a failure. Because you may be a failure in someone else's eyes, not in yours.
And inversely, with the story that you said, you might be a success in everybody else's eyes, but you might be a failure within yourself.
So yeah.
It's kind of important to recognize what you really want to do. Do you think kids these days have it sorted? I mean, do you think that at an earlier age, they know this is what I want and they have those conversations? Schools are encouraging it more and more. So do you think they have a better sense today?
Definitely, because I think we as parents also give them that. Today's papers talked about a 10-year-old at a brain eater competition or something, mm-hmm, in the US, who said, stop asking us what we want to be, ask us what we want to do now. You know, she puts it into perspective.
Absolutely. I mean, it's about the here and the now, and we're looking so much at their future, who they're going to marry, what career they're going to take up, how much money they're going to make, that that innocence of childhood now, right now, what they could be doing is kind of lost. I have some special guests coming into my studio next Tuesday, and they're from a sporting outfit called Decathlon, which is around 1,000 stores across the world. And they were telling me about, you know, how they don't have big brand ambassadors like, say, Rafael Nadal or somebody like that talking about it, because they say sport is something that every individual should pick up at a very young age. And that's something that you don't have to do it professionally. You know, you don't have to be a Sadia Mirza, you don't have to be a Lionel Messi, you don't have to be those, but at least taking up sport in your day-to-day life, they said is a concept that's very new to India, but is something that the globe has accepted, something the world is very aware of, that a sport is always with you to keep you fit, to keep you healthy. That's something I think youngsters today are taking up to more. I see that as holistic all-rounded development, rather than, you know, just looking at success with academics, success with your career. You think there's a slow change now?
There definitely is. I think we've come to recognize that people have multiple intelligences.
Mm-hmm.
So I may be kinesthetic, somebody else may be aesthetic, somebody else. So in the traditional method of learning, we only learnt in one way. Whereas today, my son goes to an international school and the same topic is taught in five different ways. So everybody gets it. at some point of time or the other. And I think that's really what it was about. Before, we sent our children for sports or for public speaking to help them be a success. But now we're looking at it is because they enjoy it, or because, you know, they express themselves differently when they do that. Absolutely. And that's what's important.
I think with the avenues like art and theater and sport, these are ways of giving the child a bigger slice of life, rather than just looking at that one little pie and saying, you know, IIT, IIM, Harvard, that's about it. I mean, that's all it's going to be. We're not going to have enough entrepreneurs. And in a country where today so many startups are beginning, you need to give them a little bit more confidence to kind of explore what they are all about today, rather than just looking at what is tomorrow.
Yes, because I work with people, senior people in organizations, and they have this huge fear of failure. Because they've always been class toppers, as they've been told, you have to do this. And the result is that as they grow in the corporate arena, they become risk averse, they become micromanagers, you know, and then they start stagnating. So it's important to let yourself have the freedom to fail, to be, you know, it's liberating to think that I can be wrong and it's okay, because I learn so much more.
Absolutely. You fail a couple of times, you figure out a way after that, isn't
it? Yeah. Then right. We couch it with things like, oh, we must learn from our failures. It's taking it too seriously.
Absolutely. You just got to go with the flow and not take everything so seriously is a good point that you brought out, Supriya. When I come back, we're going to talk some more. Chennai, if you want to talk about NI Live 104.8 FM, well, on the show today, we're talking about how to deal with failure. This is the last episode of a series of shows we've been doing with Parenting Matters. If you want to follow them, write to them, parentingmattersindia@gmail.com. They conduct workshops and talks for parents at schools, at offices. And if you want to organize a parenting workshop yourself, shoot a mail to them and they will help you, because most people in India and this country don't really know how exactly to bring up kids. I mean, there's no one way, there's no one shoe size that fits all, but at least there's room for conversations, and that's what they want to do, create an awareness. And on the show today, we are talking about how to deal with failure. You know, before I go across to my panelists in the house, Sujata and Supriya, I'm going to go across to Deepa, who joins us on the phone lines. If you want to call us and talk to us about failure, fear of failure, call us on 424-210-48. We'd love to hear your stories. Deepa, good day and welcome to the show. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, Jane. Good morning.
Good morning. Is this Deepa Athriya?
What?
Is this Deepa Athriya?
No.
It's a new Deepa. All right. I have a friend called Deepa Athriya. I thought it was that.
Today I'm going to talk about love failure.
You're talking about love failure. Okay. That's an offshoot of the topic, but I'd love to hear about it. Tell us. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell
us. The reason why I choose to talk about this is because even an LKG kid is facing the problem nowadays.
Yes, I know. Love is something that they're exposed to much earlier. Sex is something that young children are exposed to much earlier. So I guess where you're coming in has definitely to do with what we're talking. Go ahead.
Yes. And mostly out of my observation, it is mostly the girls who dump boys and not the boys, okay? All the time. So what happens is they undergo depression, they are sad, they are worried. I think for all those people out there, if something is not in our way, maybe it's not meant for us, or maybe he or she is not the right person, I think they should pick them up again and stand up and lead their life.
Absolutely. I think a lot of kids don't have that wherewithal to talk about it to their parents today, because of peer pressure, all this is happening. And we've seen this. I mean, generations have seen coming of age movies of how you fall in love, how you fall out of it. But I have seen a lot of young people who get diverted because they feel this is the person that they need to be with, giving up on their dreams. And that kind of a failure is another dimension which definitely is probably plaguing the students of today. And not enough people are talking enough about it. Thanks, Deepa, for that input. I'm going to go across to Supriya, who's sitting in the studio. Supriya, tell us, this kind of a thing for teens today, for young adults, as far as love is concerned, or what they think is love, and how are we dealing with today? Is that something that you've experienced and seen? You're a 13-year-old?
Yeah, well, I won't get into love with my 13-year-old. But just to say, the thing is that this is normal for them at this age to start feeling attracted to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And what we really have to work on with them is to talk about, make them feel secure with themselves. So in whatever we do, if we talk about the strengths that you have and people feel secure with themselves at whatever age, then the ability to deal with failure, whether it's in love, whether it's in work, whether it's in business, is far more. So if somebody is comfortable with himself and recognizes himself from his strengths, then he is able to deal with a failure, whether somebody rejects him, romantically.
Wherever it is.
So because when we operate from a sense of failure, we're operating from deficiency. Whereas when we're operating from strength, we're always on top and we're looking at celebrating our successes. And if that's an attitude we can inculcate in our children, then whether it's love or at work, failure doesn't become such a big thing. It doesn't become rejection of me because I'm comfortable with myself already and I know why I rock. And that's really what we have to teach our kids. How do you rock already? And I had a 17-year-old who came to me, and when I asked him to describe himself, he said, "I'm an underperformer." And that's how he'd been brought up. Everybody said, "You're capable of much more and you're underperforming." And for the last 5 years, he was, he was getting 60s, 70s, which is not good enough these days. And I worked with him only on his strengths and what he loves to do. And why does he love to do it? And at the end of 4 months, he did an entrance exam, a tough one, and got 97. I didn't work with him on how to study. All I did was help him feel better about how he sees himself.
Absolutely. I guess it's the aura of positivity that you build around a child. And that's exactly how you get that child to move forward, right? I would agree with you on that because I've seen a lot of kids and one at home as well, where that overall morale is brought down when you expect the child, say, "Hey, I spend this much on your studies. Now you need to go out there and earn that much more to fill your loans." And there's a lot of pressure on children today to succeed. So it's not just about success in terms of how well they do or what you want to do, but also in terms of what are the paybacks from a very, very early age. So I've spent, your loan when you go abroad to study is 20 lakhs or 30 lakhs or 40 lakhs. Do you get the job immediately that pays you back? What's your immediate, plan of growth? So I guess this kind of a career plan for children and young adults today is not enough. And add to that the pressures of the other things, whether it's having a girlfriend or a boyfriend or, having a nice and cozy atmosphere at home to kind of have a conversation with your parents. Add to that all those elements, it makes it very, very pressurizing for the child to go out there and do things, isn't it?
Yeah, because you've predetermined all the areas where he needs to succeed and we've never asked him about what he wants to do.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I'm going to go across to Sujata. Sujata, so when it comes to failure, we're talking about failure in all dimensions. Where do you think is the root of all of this? Where do you think we can go back? Is it to the parent and the child at a very younger age and getting that sorted first before it mutates into something so complicated as you grow?
Yes, I would like to ask first, can the parent introspect? Whose worth is it anyway? Is it the parent's worth or the child's worth? Is the child feeling self-motivated to do something, what he or she wants to do? Or is it the parents' aspirations and dreams that we are putting on the
and
child?
And this should start very young, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, very young. On. How we react and respond to a child's failings or making mistakes or errors is the way we are communicating. And are we communicating to the child that, here, we are this emotional support for you? In different ways in day-to-day life, are we communicating that yes, it's tough today, you have failed in your exam, or okay, how can we go about it? Problem solve.
Do you think that this two-way communication is kind of missing? You do something wrong.
Yeah.
I know a lot of parents and I know a lot of family who gives you the silent treatment. Say, you've broken up with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, or say you've bad grades, or you've lost a job, or you don't know how to go forward when you're in a soup. Who do you really talk to is a big question, right? When you deal with a failure, is that a gap today?
There is, and there may be not if we are open to ourselves.
What's the
first
reality? Honestly, what is the reality? Is there really a gap? I'm going to bring in Supriya here. Tell us.
Well, in the old days, we had large families, you know, who lived together. And so there was always somebody to talk to. Yeah. We had an aunt's perspective or an uncle's perspective.
Or a
cousin. Yeah, or a grandmother. So we got different perspectives. Now, because we're in small families, we only hear our mother's and father's perspective. So, yes, it tends to get a bit stifled. But at the same time, schools are opening up. There are counselors in schools. There are opportunities to talk. There are shows like this, you know, people are listening. My son is looking at something on Instagram or on Facebook or whatever. So there is wisdom that's coming in from all over, but it doesn't put too much of data and not enough. Yeah, it doesn't help you to put it into perspective always.
Unless, and of course, your school, your parents and everybody as you're growing up really helps you build that, right?
The problem is that society doesn't help. So, you know, there's a teenager I know and she decided to take a gap year. And she convinced her parents that she needed this gap year. But strangers would come to her mother and say, why did she fail? Why are you letting her do this? When it was none of their business, but society kind of comes in on us and adds more pressure.
I mean, in countries outside, the gap year is a must because that's when you kind of go out on a journey, search what you want to do, intern at places, know what really interests you. But today it's like between school and college, it's a straight jump. So most people just jump into engineering or jump into medicine, 95% of them. And then the rest figure it out otherwise. And then those who take that gap year look down upon, did you fail? Aren't you good enough? So where do you really think we can actually stopgap this issue at a much earlier stage?
So I saw a cartoon recently, mm-hmm. which had two moms and two children waiting to cross the road. And there was a sweeper on the other side. And one mom told her child, if you don't study, you will become like the sweeper. And the other mom told her child, if you study, you can help people like the sweeper.
Wow.
So that one first mom has brought her child up to live in fear. He is always afraid of failure. He has no motivation to study other than out of fear. And the other child is going to enjoy his studies. He's going to enjoy learning. He's going to see it as an adventure, an exploration into life because he's got something positive to work for. And so it's important to look at how we talk to our children.
We were talking about dignity of labor some time back.
Yeah.
And I think this is something parents don't inculcate, right?
Right.
They're like, unless you're successful professionally, like in terms of, you know, being a big doctor or, you know, like being a great CEO or being the creative head of a company. And even if it's artistic, they want you to be at the peak of things. Then otherwise you're a failure. So I guess this is a very wrong example that most of us are setting for our kids, because if they're not going to learn, they're not going to, you know, do their own chores and be proud of it, then how exactly are they going to be confident human beings, isn't it?
So one of the things we have to teach our children is to understand whose parameters of success are you working for? Yours, your organization, your bosses, your past boss, your worst boss, your teacher, you know. Our teachers all told us we can always do better. So I work with adults who are all saying, I haven't reached my potential, and they've forgotten to celebrate their successes. So really it's about that. It's determining what are your parameters of success and what do you want to achieve, and then going for it with a positive attitude, not because of a fear.
Absolutely. Do you think a mentorship program also helps? I mean, not all the time can parents be mentors. I'm bringing this in because we've spoken about parenting enough and more. And I know that parents need to step it up and be mentors to their children. But do you think overall mentorship from outside can also kind of help with children? You know, mentors maybe at the school, mentors outside from careers that they would like to pick up. Are these ways and means of getting children to understand a little bit more about how to deal with life in general, failure or success?
Definitely, because as a parent, I will always have certain black spots when it comes to my kid.
Yes.
Because of my own fears. And my kids, you know, children may not feel so comfortable talking to a parent, mm-hmm. and may be able to speak to a mentor far easier. Mm-hmm. So yes, definitely mentors, whether they come in the form of professional mentors or from school or from older cousins or
friends
and family. You must encourage your child to speak to people.
Absolutely.
And voice his opinions and voice his thoughts, and not tell him, no, that's wrong.
So you build that ecosystem for the child. Of course, if it starts with the parent, nothing like it, right? Because that's right there at home, and that's a support system you're going to have for life. But you also need to enable them to kind of be independent, to figure out what they want. Do you think that, you know, at certain points, especially when they are deciding what to do, who to be with, what to become, where to study, you need to give them a gap from you as well, from the parent. Like, get let them find out, let them lose, make them understand what they want to do and come back to you. Is that something that can be encouraged?
Theoretically, yes. But children always need to know that they can come back to you. So they want that safety.
Mm-hmm.
They might rebel against it, but they still want it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you always have to be there. And it's just that fine line between not being in their face and putting your point of view down their throat versus standing back and saying, you know, there are so many options that if you want help to explore the options, I'm willing to help you. Or if you'd like to speak to somebody who's in that line, then, you know, right. I
so
can
you're
introduce
always
you to.
In the line of focus that yes. they are there in, but not like literally pushing them from behind or standing ahead.
Breathing down the neck.
Absolutely. yeah, if you're breathing down the neck, it's not going to be good at all. I have a caller who joins us on the phone lines. Happens to be Pradeep. Chennai, if you want to call us and talk to us about this, 4242-1048, that's the number you can call us on. Good day and welcome to the show, Pradeep. Thanks so much for joining us. Good day, yeah, Pradeep.
Thanks,
are you
Dana.
There? Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yes.
Pradeep. See, on this particular topic, I just, you know, I have... No, I've been handling teams for the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just thought I would own experience. When it comes to, you know, driving performance or improving morale, you know, I've always found that when, you know, fear of failure leads to inaction, as in people tend to, you know, not go ahead with things if they are restrained by fear of failure.
Absolutely. I mean, if you don't give them that that way that, hey, you can fail and you can try, they're not going to try at all.
Yeah, they're not going to try at all. So I've always found that, you know, when people are encouraged to try and try out different things and they're kind of not chastised for the result, they tend to deliver better. And when they're given space without this, you know, Damocles sword hanging over their head saying, boss, if you don't do this or if something goes wrong, then you fail or whatever. And if they're given that room to, you know, try different things and, you know, not measured on the results, they tend to deliver results plus, you know, their morale goes up, you know, distinctly. So that is my own personal experience. And so that's what I have carried for some time now, because I've gone through a phase where I've kind of chastised people for their results and, you know, I found that most of the time it doesn't work.
But absolutely. Either they quit or they quit on you. And both of it is not good enough, right? Unless they're going to be able to talk to you that, hey, I want to try this out. It may fail. You work with them. It's not going to be a two-way street and nobody's going to gain out of it.
Exactly. So, you know, I think that applies to most situations in life, whether you're dealing with your, you know, kids or your siblings or, you know, anything as people at work, your colleagues, your reportees. I think if you're somebody who is shaping their aspirations and you're kind of leading them, it is always better to give them the space and probably guide them in the right direction, give them motivation and, you know, let them try different things. And if you see something wrong, you may even course correct, but never, you know, measure them only on the results. You know, give them the credit for what they are attempting.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of let them, you know, go through their ups and downs for them to learn and come up the curve, because nobody succeeds all the time.
Absolutely.
And the people who succeed, you know, I've seen this in sport and we see this in day-to-day life. People who don't start out well, people who tend to have failures, you know, later in their careers or in the middle of their careers tend to blossom and do much better than others. So it's always better to kind of not look at the, you know, immediate results and give them that space to deliver in the future and, you know, groom them as individuals. That's how it works.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your thoughts, Pradeep. I'm with you on that. In fact, I met an artist yesterday, a TV artist in on our show, Jigar Tanda, and he was telling me that he's one of those artists in Chennai who can really do the perfect version of Kamal Hassan's voice. And when he first did it, he showed it to his dad. This is the story he shared with us. And his dad, you know, he himself knew it wasn't a great version. It was not sounding like Kamal Hassan at all. You know, he knew it wasn't great. But his dad said, you know what? Sounds a little like it. It sounds great. Why don't you try more, son? So he went to the toilets between shoots and between shots, and he would actually keep trying. And today he's one of the most recognized voices in terms of getting that kind of a voice over right, and he sings and he does a lot of other things as well. So I think even as an artist, you need to keep trying. You need to have somebody tell you that, hey, it looks awesome or it feels awesome and it's a great effort, and only then is someone going to try further, because nobody is born, I think, you know, with some people might just come in with that stroke of genius, but I think the others, most of us tend to show the genius only as you progress, as you paint on the canvas of life and you make those little mistakes. So thanks so much, Pradeep, for giving us a perspective on that. I would like to wrap the show, and I'm going to go across to Sujata. Sujata, tell us, what would you like to wrap the show with?
Yeah, I would like to sum up with saying that let's give the message to the child that it's okay to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Try again. I'm here to support you. So what would you like to do? How would you like to go about it? And also give control and autonomy to do a particular task. We are always, as I said, breathing down the neck, hovering around them. We are like this helicopter parents. And the kids need space to explore, to learn on its own. So we can do that. We can give them the space. And also appreciate that journey of learning, the effort, and that task which is difficult. Appreciate that diligence or perseverance of that child who is doing the task. And I think that would help them to take different options or solve a problem very differently and creatively.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for that. I'm going to go across to Supriya. Supriya, how would you like to wrap the show today?
I think taking from what Sujata is saying, don't confuse introspection with judgment. So it's good to introspect on your failure and understand what went wrong, but don't get judgmental about it, either with yourself or with your children or other people who failed. You know, we tend to say, oh, I didn't do that. Oh, I'm so stupid. We say that to ourselves or to our children. So it's really, don't confuse introspection with judgment. Someone sent me a little saying, life is like a camera. I didn't write this, I'm reading it out. Focus on what's important, capture the good times, develop from the negatives, and if things don't work out, take another shot.
Absolutely, I believe in that saying as well. I read that out some time back on radio, and I think it's very important for you to just keep focusing on what you want to do. Zero in on your passion, zero in on your areas of interest, and that's how you're going to progress, right? Because if you don't know what you want to do, and we're not going to zero in on that, then nobody else is going to be able to help you. So it also starts with you, and as a child, it starts with the family setup, it starts with your school, and we are seeing those changes, and we are seeing people who are experimenting more today, who are looking at more and more avenues of growth and what you need to do in life. Like I was telling you, I spoke to these guys at Decathlon. We're featuring them on Tuesday next week. And they said, hey, you know what? We're hiring, and we don't want to hire somebody based on what's their education qualification. Yeah, what they've studied, what their marks are like. We want somebody who loves to play a sport and who loves games and who loves to, you know, come in and absorb that and imbibe that, and then, you know, spread the joy to people who don't feel the joy today. I mean, I would love for companies to hire that way, right? Because at the end of the day, your marks are just on paper. What you do for any organization, what you do for yourself in your career, is more about who you are as a person, how you build yourself, what you read, you know, what you watch on television, what you kind of gain your experiences from, how much you travel, how much you eat, you know, at different places. It's about cultures and growing up. I also had a girl in my studio sometime back talking about her book, Doesn't Hurt to Be Nice, Amisha Sethi, and she said, you know, there's so many people who told her not to get out of the country and study, because they said, hey, you know what, India's a great place, let's stay here, which is great. But she said, I wanted to do this course, and I knew that this was the best course in the world for me to go to. And she went out, she studied, and she said, I don't know about my grades or my marks, but the people I met, from a diaspora of people from across the world, gave me so many stories to come back home and to, you know, work with. So it's not about where you stay, how you do things. It's about your own path, your own career path. And you'll fail multiple times, but that's when you succeed one day, isn't it?
Yes.
All right.
Sure, sure.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining
us
on
thank
the show. I'd love to thank Parenting Matters for coming in for 12 episodes and successfully dealing with this entire issue of parenting. Of course, it's only a start. And I'm saying issue of parenting because most people think there's no issue at all. But I would say children need better parents. And when I say better, I'm not saying you're bad parents. I'm only saying that we need to work on this better. And here's an organization that can help you do that. So parentingmatters.in for the previous radio shows. If you want to write to them on, you know, getting on a workshop organized at your corporate, I think a lot of corporates are doing it today. Write to them at parentingmattersindia@gmail.com. You can follow them on facebook.com/parentingmattersindia. And in general, I mean, I would definitely like to tell you that, you know, on the show, we've discovered with the show that a lot of you love to talk about your kids, talk about your family. We'd encourage that, yeah? Every once in a while, do that. There's also a new parenting workshop in Littlemore Preschool at Chetpet. And if you want to know more details, mail on parentingmattersindia@gmail.com. Overall, look at what they have to do and what they have to say. But all I have to say today to wrap up this series is parenting and, you know, and bringing up a child is such a beautiful feeling. And if you just do it right, if you really engage, or even if you fail multiple times, but come to a consensus on how you kind of create that positive family atmosphere at home. If there's conversations around it, as cliche as it sounds, I had a couple of people who say, you know, you're talking about things which we already know. I do know that, but are we doing enough about what we know is a big question. So I'm just saying, be more involved, spend more time with your family, no matter how big your career is or how great you're doing at your job, at your work. Spending that time with your kids is a very, very crucial part of them becoming better adults and better citizens of tomorrow and more informed, more active participants of everything, whether it comes to the politics of the country, whether it comes to the politics at work, or whether it comes to, in general, shaping their entire lives. It really matters what kind of a cushion they have at home. So keep that cushion right and start talking today. On the other side, we have an interesting game that's going to go on the radio. I'm going to leave you with a couple of tracks and we're going to come back on the other side.